microphone for you to testify about the goodness of God in your lives. I want to just say a few things before that. One thing I want to do is I want to introduce what we've been talking about for a few weeks, the New City Catechism. And we're going to go through this most Sundays here on Sunday morning, but also encourage you to be going through it at home with your kids, meditating on it, reflecting on it. Catechism is just simply a way of learning in a question and answer format. It's meant to be repeated, contemplated, dwelt upon throughout the week. And the questions and answers here cover a range of what we believe, all coming out of the Word of God. And so you can find these. We've run out, but there will be more here next week in the hallway. You can also just Google New City Catechism. It's all online. If you go to their website, you've got prayers, video commentaries, scripture passages that all go along with this. But I want to just start by asking, what is your only hope in life and in death? How would you answer that question? Jesus, that's a good one-word answer. And that's good to meditate on. You could spend your whole life reflecting on that. The authors of this catechism, drawing on the Word of God and on other teaching just throughout the history of the church that we learn from, they answer it this way. Let's say this together. What is your only hope in life and in death, church? That we are not our own, but belong, body and soul, both in life and in death, to God and to our Savior, Jesus Christ. Randy says, hallelujah. Let's go back to that a minute. There's nothing that can happen in 2016 that can take that hope away from you. If you are not here a year from now, that's appointed to everyone wants to die. That hope can even be more fully realized. Your only hope in life and in death, that you belong to God and to your Savior, Jesus Christ. I want to just unpack two things that really encourage me in this. One is that this gives me a home. We all need a place where we are safe, secure, where we belong. Right, Donna? I mean, and we all, I don't care how old you are, you look for it in other places, don't you? I mean, we got kids who are looking for it in gangs where they associate. We've got adults who are looking at it in their jobs, their success, what other people say or think about you. This says you belong, not ultimately to your job, not to your work, not to your school. You belong to God. That's your home. That's your identity. But it also means this. It means that your life is not your own. The choices that you make about what you do with your time, with your money, with your energy, with your body, with your mind, with your eyes, all of it belongs to God. And so we have a place where we are welcomed, where we are safe, a home with God. But we also have direction for all of the things of life. What are you going to do? Where are you going to go? How are you going to live? Well, when we answer this question, we say we don't ultimately define that on our own terms, because we belong to God. And so our desire, as Jesus taught us to pray, is your will be done. Your will be done in my life. I encourage you this next week to reflect on that some more. Go to the website if you want to hear some other thoughts about it. But that's a solid foundation. I'll just commend that to you for this year. Your only hope in life and in death, that you're not your own. You belong body and soul in life and in death to God and to your Savior, Jesus Christ. I want to enter into the testimony time just by reading from God's Word this morning a little bit. And you'll find it in your bulletin, and I think it's on the screen here behind me as well. This is the Apostle Paul writing in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And just a kind of hint for you, as you hear sermons throughout the year, sermons have some different parts. Exposition, which is kind of unpacking the Word of God. What does it mean? Illustration, which usually helps us to understand it by way of stories and different analogies. And then application. We're going to spend almost the whole time this morning applying what Paul tells us to do in this passage. But I want to read it just as we start. Paul says in the beginning verses of this chapter, Paul is called by the will of God to be an apostle of Christ Jesus. And our brother Sosthenes, who wrote this with him, to the church of God that is in Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints. So Paul says to the church, you are already made holy by God. That's the grace of God that cleanses you, but you're also called to be holy, to live lives that are set apart for God's purposes. Together with those who in every place, and I think you could also say every time, so that's us, right? Here in St. Louis in 2016. Call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, both their Lord and ours. What is for you, church? Grace to you. Peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul says, I give thanks to my God always for you because of the grace of God that was given to you in Christ Jesus, that in every way you were enriched in him, in all speech, in all knowledge, in any gift as you wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will sustain you to the end, guiltless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And then the end of this passage says this, brothers and sisters, think of what you were when you were called. Some of you maybe this morning want to think of what you were and what God has done in your lives. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. God chose the lowly things of the world and the despised things, the things that are not, to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before him. It is because of him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God, that is our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. Therefore, as it is written, let the one who boasts boast in the Lord. I love this chapter. It starts out with just a great reminder of what is for us, grace for us, peace for us, grace given because of Jesus Christ. You begin this chapter and you realize God has poured out so much on us, not because we deserve it, because of his mercy, because of his grace, because of his kindness. And then he ends the chapter by reminding us even of our weakness. You are all fearfully and wonderfully gloriously made in the image of God. But your minds are not perfect. You can only be one place at any time. You're very finite. You're going to live a short little while. Some of you feel weakness and sickness in your bodies, confusion in your minds. And what Paul is saying is that the grace of God, the promises of God, the power of God to work doesn't pass you by because of any of that. It actually comes to you in those weak and broken places. Amen? And so the result then is that we don't say, hey, look at me. You know, I've got it figured out. I've got this great family. I've got this great job. I've got this reputation. No, we come before God and we come before one another and we say, I've got the grace of God, which he's given me. I've got Christ. I've got Jesus. Everything good in my life I've received as a gift from him. And I want to boast this morning about it. And I want you to boast this morning about it. Christians of all people should be the most humble because we realize that what we have has been given to us as a free gift, but we also should be free to boast in Jesus Christ. So I'm going to give you a chance in just a moment to do that. All right? Think of something. And just as an encouragement, as you think of something, maybe reflect on the last year. What's been a trial? What's been a point of suffering, of sorrow, of sadness? You look at those areas and you might find the greatest work of God in the past year. And also as you come, encourage you to keep it focused on Christ. And to keep it brief. All right? We always love to hear from lots of people, which means just a minute or so each. All right? I want to just start because I have the microphone already. One of the great, great gifts that God gives us as we come to Him is fellowship with one another and the body. And I just thank you. You've walked this past year as a community in forgiveness. I've seen you do that in love for one another, in uncertainty, with faith and with hope. God's brought us a new associate pastor. Hey, Roy, I haven't even seen you since I got back. So praise God for Roy and Emily. God has been good to us. But I want to just say, personally in my own life, two times this past year, I've experienced that in just pretty powerful ways when I felt very helpless. They both have to do with my home state of Michigan, because I've been there twice in the past year, and each time there was a little bit of a crisis back here. Some of you know about this, but we went back over the summer, and Sam, our oldest son, stayed back here. He had football camp. And we were riding our bikes close to Lake Michigan, and the cell phones kept ringing. And I didn't know the number, so I didn't answer it. But after a few times, you know, you realize somebody's trying to get hold of you. And I picked it up, and it was Sam's coach who was saying to us, Sam's in the hospital. He's going to be all right, but he's getting some tests done. And what had happened was his appendix had started to leak. It was on the edge of rupturing. And parents feel really helpless at a time like that. But I thank God that he was not alone. We made one phone call to Patty Medici, and within an hour or two, Patty drove out to Sullivan, Missouri, met him there, was with him as he was transferred to the hospital here all day until Stephanie could get back. That's the family of God. We're called to love one another, not just with words, but with actions and in truth. And I'm thankful to be part of a family where we can call on one another for that kind of thing. This was not quite as serious, but this past week we had an opportunity to go again back to Michigan. And you all noticed it rained a lot over the last week, right? We had a neighbor who was watching our house and putting some food out for the cat. And she called us and said, your basement is flooded. Now, half of our basement is carpeted. And so we are like, what are we going to do? Man, we got family. We just got up here. Are we going to turn around and go back? I want to just say, I praise God that I'm in a community. I made two phone calls. And within an hour, there were six people in my basement tearing out the carpet from my basement. Yes, thank you, Jesus. I mean, you guys, you don't know what it means to be part of a family where we can call on one another for that kind of thing. I mean, in the whole scope of things, right, a flood, there have been a lot of people dealt with a lot worse flooding this past week. But for me and for Stephanie, for our family, you loved us. I want to just say thank you. And I want to say praise God, because he's put us together as members of the same family. Amen? All right. Who's next? Come on up. If you're visiting, by the way, we're super glad you're with us. If you want to testify to God's work in your lives, you're also welcome to come. Whoever comes, as I said, keep it short and introduce yourselves. Also, we've got a great group here from California, right? You guys? I know, I'm going to call on you. From University of California, Merced, is it? InterVarsity here for Urbana. Let's welcome these guys. All right. So, really glad you're here. You going to come on up, Bob?
I think I know what he means.
Amen. All right. Thank you, Bob. Yes, Donna's going to, Donna listens to me. She's going to come up to the microphone, Bob. So.
Hello. You know, I've been gone for a while, for the whole month of December, because I was a Scrooge. I hated Christmas. I hated Christmas songs and things like that. But the best thing that has ever happened to me in the 54 years I've been here is sitting in that house and reading scripture day after day, trying to figure out, why am I suffering? Feeling sorry for myself, feeling sorry for my kids, my grandkids, everybody. And in that time, I learned that my suffering is for a reason, that the old me had to die so that I could understand and know who Jesus really is and how much it means to know him, how much it means to suffer and be sacrificed, you know, just so that he is the most important thing in your life, and he is the most important thing in my life. I'm going to tell you something. I can hardly stand here and talk because I'm so full, because it's just amazing to me that my suffering was about me just saying, okay, Lord, I know you. I love you. I hear you. That's all I had to say in the beginning. And I went all these years and didn't understand that until this December. And I tell you, if you don't know him, you better hurry up and get to know him, because you're missing out.
Amen. Thank you, Donna. Yes. It's good. Justin.
Praise God.
Amen.
I thank God for this morning, for what he has done in 2015. He has done so much. And I will just say a couple things. One, I'm glad that I was able to celebrate with my whole family that God brought to the United States. Amen. Secondly, I just want to thank God for my family. God kept my family safe. We are all healthy and happy. The other thing, I was here, one of the married men in my community. Last year, God blessed my brother Justin Serugo with a wonderful wife. We had the first wedding, Banyamulenge, here in St. Louis, when Justin got married. I think we can give God praise for that. We can put our hands together for that. The other thing is, you all know Julius. He got married, and last year, God provided the visa for his wife. So soon, he will be here with his wife. Last year, we received many people, many families here in St. Louis than any other year before. That's when we received the family for Pastor Ruben. So many people, you know them, they came last year. I just want to thank God for that. We can give God glory again for bringing them to St. Louis. Many of you, you know Jackson, my brother. He's been sick for a while, but now I thank God because he's doing really, really good. And pretty soon he will get out of the hospital. So I thank God for that too. And lastly, not least, my brother's son's wife came pregnant, and she gave birth. God gave us a beautiful daughter who is a couple weeks old, and she gave birth Pretty good. So, and so many wonderful things happened. We started an evening service where we come here and worship in our language and sing. So, God is good. Thank you.
Amen. Justin, just help me out here. I want to just help everybody just get to see people from your community. So, you all know we are one family, but gloriously, we don't all look alike. Y'all don't want to be in a church where everybody looks like me. And we're not, as some people say, colorblind, right? Because if we were, you wouldn't be able to see the amazing things about Justin that are different than me. And so we celebrate the work of God among all of the different communities, young and old, different ethnic groups. One of the groups that Justin's talking about are his community, the Congolese, the Banyamulenge, and they've grown. If you're part of that community, Ruben's family or Victor and others, would you just please stand, including Justin in the back? Just stand a minute so we can say we thank God for you. Amen. Amen. And I think there are some more who aren't even here today. So praise God. Thank you, brother. Mama Rose. Oh, we get the family. Yeah, you guys come stand up here so everybody can see you. Yeah. Rose, Basse, and Benita and Lillian. We're so happy you're here. Macklin comes back more often, but we don't get to see you very much. So tell us what you have.
Thank you. I want to thank God for healing me from my eye problem that started since last year when I needed to pass an exam. I missed 2 weeks of class, but God helped me, and I passed that exam very well.
Thank God because he brought that in St. Louis, and I have fun with Papa Bob and Mama Melissa and Ozzy too. I do well at school. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you. It's so good to be here. We are in our family. We have a song that says, it's good to be at home. And for us, here is at home too. It's so good to see everyone. There's much joy and sense of humor and just peace and love. Benita was like, it's like we haven't been gone. It's so good to be here, and we want to thank God for you all, because being home in Togo, sometimes it feels like running away because of the pressure, because of everything Africa is. Sometimes it's scary. Sometimes I feel like, what am I doing here? It was good in America, and why did we come here anyway? But when we think about how many people pray for us every day, and how when Macklin send an email to say, it's not good here, please help, how quickly God people stand and answer our requests and prayer, give us strength. I'm not here to talk about what we are able to do in Togo, but what you are able to do. Because it's you doing what we are doing in Togo. Without you, I'm not sure we'll be able to do it. So I just want to say thank God for each and every one of you here at this church. God has been so wonderful. You know, I'm a fearful person, doubtful person. Like last week, Randy was saying, sometimes we are like Thomas. We have to see before we believe. I'm somehow like that. One thing I would say about the school, we have problem with space. The school is growing. We have a lot of children coming. And we were planning on adding a building on top of the building we have. And we were thinking how this will happen. But God is so good. He has his plan. I don't know how it happened. There's a house near us. I went in the house many times, and I know how it looked like. But I didn't know God was planning something wonderful with that house. So in August, while we were doing conference Amana thing, we were going back and forth with American who came for the conference. That's where we saw that they wrote for rent on that house. And Macklin was like, what is in that house? I'm like, I know. It's nothing good. But we went and looked in the house. And wonderful thing is that the owner of the house, we know him. And he was with us the past week. So it's, I'm sorry, I could show you. It's big space for children to play. It's wonderful place. And how quickly God allow us to have that place is so amazing. When I think about that, I'm like, God, we are something. You are God. None is like, you are so big and you are so small. I mean, in Togo, we see God in smallest things and we see him in biggest things. And I can say it all. When Macklin left for a month, I went through a lot. It's like every week something. And I was like, why Macklin has to go away every year and I'll be here alone? But I thank God because I think he wants to take away the old rose and give a new rose who can trust and have faith in God. So I really thank God for what he's doing in me, in my family. I mean, if we are standing, Macklin and me, is only by his grace. Because it's a lot. It's a lot. In Togo now, you hear everywhere about couples' problem, and it's like God put it in our hearts to come together and call other couples to come and just lift our couples before him, because it's like evil acting in families. And I thank him because he's holding us. He's holding us. And for that, we want to sing a song, not only for our household, for God people, God family. The song say, we are well at home when love reigns. Joy is in all sound when love reigns. It's peace, good humor, is true happiness. Time goes with sweetness when reigns love. Amen. On est bien à la maison de... Wait. On est bien à la maison quand règne l'amour. La joie est dans chaque son quand règne l'amour. C'est la paix, la bonne humeur, le véritable bonheur. Le temps passe avec douceur. Quand règne l'amour au foyer, chaque jour, le temps passe avec douceur. Quand règne l'amour. The last thing, I want to thank Papa Bob, Mama Melissa, It's so good to be at home with Azzy. And I want to thank Papa Bob again and Pastor Kevin for their wonderful visit to Togo. I was like, yes! You know how God can take you from dust and put you with, you know the rest. Thank you.
Amen. Amen. Boast in the Lord. I hope you are encouraged as you hear these stories to see the goodness of God, to see the greatness of God, the power of God to be working all around the world. Mimi, who was tearing out wet carpet from my basement a few days ago.
And we are paying for it, Steve and I. Praise the Lord. It's good. Well, I got up, and I usually don't sit with the Lord on Saturday morning because I have things to do. But I decided to sit down with the Lord Saturday morning, and I just kept praying, Lord, help me sit here. Help me sit here. Speak to me, Lord. I'm not needing you very much right now. Things are going really well. But I know I need you desperately, so I want to sit here with you. So I did, and I happened to pull out this mindfulness and meditation paper from the women's retreat, and I read, the Lord your God is in your midst, a mighty one who will save. And then there's a lot more goodies right after that. But I just sat there, and I realized I was in the midst of God. I was with God. God was with me right there in my dining room in my chair. And the Lord has been faithful to me for about 30 years to do that and to help me sit and to help me sit in his presence. So I think the part of my testimony that I want to share is that to remind you and encourage you that God is in your midst. He says, this is Zephaniah 3:17, the Lord your God is in your midst, a mighty one who will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. Now, what does that mean? You'll have to meditate and ask the Lord what that means to you. He will quiet you with his love. Some of us need quieting. He will rejoice. Did I say that? Miss Mighty, rejoice with you with gladness. He will quiet you by his love. He will exalt over you with loud singing. And I'm like, what does that mean? He exalts is over me. It's so good to just take the word apart and try to figure out what does it mean. God's word is so full and so faithful to each of us to speak to our hearts. In Isaiah, I'm just going to share a couple scriptures here and try to do it fast. 48:17. All right, this is what the Lord says. I take these things very personally, and I encourage you to. This is what the Lord says to Mimi, to Donna, to Kevin. I am the Lord your God who teaches you what is best for you, who directs you in the way you should go. Some of us need that desperately today, and you don't know where you're going or why it's going on, or what to do, and you're afraid, and you're angry, and you're doubting, like Rose said. God says, I'm the Lord your God. I teach you what is best for you. I will direct you in the way you should go. He's going to do it. He's faithful. His word says he's going to do that. So just encouragement. He's done that for me. I have lived on that verse many, many times when in doubt and afraid to make a decision. in Isaiah 46:4, and this is for us elders here. Even to your old age and gray hairs, I am he. I am he who will sustain you. I have made you. You know, he's like in a command voice here, I think. I have made you, and I will carry you. I will sustain you, and I will rescue you. Now, you take that and hold on to that. Run with that. He says, I mean, he makes it a point who he is, what he does, and who he does it for, and that's us. One more. And my testimony is that God is in our midst. God is with us. He's with me. He's with you. In Isaiah 43. Isaiah is my favorite book, even though there's all kinds of big judgments coming down. For 30 years, when I needed him, and I did not need judgment, I needed love and comfort. I only read, it seems like he only wanted me to see the comforting parts. I know enough about the judgment part, but I needed the comfort. He says in 43:5, do not be afraid, for I am with you. Again, I think God wants us to know this year, he is with us. He is with us. Do not be afraid, for I am with you. And I don't know if this applies to some of the Congolese people, maybe the Burmese people, and a lot of other people, even me, because I used this verse when my son was on drugs and very rebellious. Actually, all my kids were very rebellious. But it can apply to a lot of peoples. Do not be afraid, for I am with you. I will bring your children from the east and gather you from the west. I will say to the north, give them up, and to the south, do not hold them back. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the ends of the earth. So these are promises. I know he's talking to the Israelites, and I know he's talking to, you know, the Old Testament folks, but I think it's good for us to take them for ourselves. It's a word for us today. God can move mountains, just like the song said. And he's moved them in my life over and over and over and over. And so I testify, this is it right here. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you, Mimi. Amen. Yeah, come on up. I would also just commend to you one another. And some of you are not even 30 years old. You want to know what it looks like to walk with God for 30 years? Pay attention. All right? Thank you, Mimi. Mimi has a lot of ministry among our church, meeting with people. So thank you. Brandon.
How you doing, brother? How you doing? I had a long speech, but I'll keep it short. And I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ, Philippians 1:6. About 10 years ago, I went to law school wide-eyed and ready to conquer the world and become a child advocacy lawyer. But that didn't happen. I didn't pass the bar exam and had to get laid off from my job. And just things like spiraled since then. Now, if you know me, up to that point, things were perfect. Pretty much everything lined up or what I thought was going to happen in my life happened in my life. But this kind of rocked my world and rocked my foundation, rocked my theology, just rocked everything. So it was just a long road from there. You know, I was unemployed. I was underemployed. I was, you know, trying to write, trying to do marketing, trying to do all kinds of stuff, copywriting. And, you know, we eventually moved to St. Louis, and I still was trying to pursue these things. I remember talking with Kevin and other people and said, you know, you ought to give law another chance. And I wasn't sure. Most people didn't even know I even went to law school. I never talked about it. But then Ferguson happened and a lot of other things and just kind of got me back into it. And I'm sure of this, that he will begin, he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion. And this past year, I passed the bar exam. What was interesting is that, you know, I came back. I took it in February and missed it by like 0.6. And normally I probably would have been in if I would say, well, you know, I guess it's not supposed to happen. But God gave me the resolve and the faith just to keep going and try one more time. And I knocked it out of the park. So, and also is that I got a job as a child advocacy lawyer, too. It all kind of fell in place. So I just want to thank my wife for standing by me through these times, hard times. I want to thank my family. Thank God. I want to thank God. I want to thank New City, Kevin. New City, 82nd Street as well, helped me out. The New Covenant Legal Services helped me kind of get back on my feet and work on my law skills and kind of get me back in the right frame of mind. And just want to thank each and every one of you for your prayers. And let's make this year the best, okay?
Amen. Praise God. Thank you, brother. Yeah. Thank you. You know, one of the reasons I think we can be very confident that this is God's hand at work in Brandon's life, I mean, there's lots of them, right? Brandon belongs to God. He's not his own. He belongs to God and to Jesus. But here's another reason. God loves those children. God loves the fatherless children of St. Louis. And he's called Brandon to be their advocate, to work for them. Praise God. Yeah. Yeah. Line it up over here. All right. And we're going to have just a little while. So if you got something, come up and keep it brief.
Yeah. I'm Sarah Wilson. And I just want to share with you a miracle that God worked in our life as a family and in my life, and just boast about it because it's so great, and I'm not really good at celebrating these things, and I really felt God telling me, you told those close to you, now you need to tell more people how I did this for you. So it comes with a short story, and that is that I joined the military 11 years ago. It was a great ride, and I just finished my time there this past summer. While I was in the military, I knew I was going to deploy at some point, and this was something I was really excited about. I'm a doctor. I love taking care of people. I was willing to take care of anyone. And then I started having children, and I was not willing to take care of anyone. So God knew that, and my turn to deploy came around. I had Reuben at the time, and Amira had just come into our family. That's my daughter who's adopted. And I was supposed to deploy. And the miracle in this is that I didn't deploy. And the story is, there's just no way to explain it. I love science. I love logic. I try and figure these things out. But there is, God did this. Every person in my work goes when it's their turn. Years and years and years of this. Every 6 months, another doctor goes. They went before me. They went after me. But my turn, nobody went. I didn't go. Nobody went. They didn't call anybody. That doesn't happen since 9/11. That has not happened in my job. And it happened. God is good. He knew what we needed. He knew what was needed for the military, but he knew what I needed. And he just... praise him for knowing our hearts and hearing our prayers. So many people here prayed. God is worthy of our praise.
Thank you. Yes. Come on up, Devin.
I'll keep this really brief. My testimony is that my son can talk. If you know him or if you've ever served in the nursery, you know he talks a ton. Eli's not in his head. He knows. He chats. But he had like some pretty major speech delays. And towards the beginning of this year, he was diagnosed with something called apraxia of speech, which is, I won't go into it, but feel free to ask. It's like a really interesting thing. But anyway, sometimes it can be a really, really bad diagnosis. Like, okay, you have to have some sort of, you know, computer or thing you point to you know, to communicate. You know, the words are there in your head, but they can't get them out of your mouth effectively. So anyway, he was diagnosed with that, and for Casey and me, it was like, okay, we've always wanted to live overseas. We both love languages and stuff. Like, this is going to be a major struggle to get Nate to talk in English in a way that anyone else can understand, the way that we can understand. And so we, you know, started looking into the different, you know, therapy worlds and options and stuff that was here, and started, you know, for us it was like majorly reevaluating, okay, what's life going to look like for our family with a kid who might not be able to communicate effectively ever that a stranger could understand. Paired with that, he was super shy because he kind of was self-conscious about it. He's three, you know, so he's little, but already kind of knew that there was something wrong. And so he, you know, we're thankful that we live near a really great university with SLU, and it just happened that one of the, like, national experts on apraxia happened to be there and happened to have space in her schedule to get Nate in the clinic, which, like, doesn't even bill your insurance. It's so cheap kind of thing. So all these things, God had brought us here to this place, kind of knowing what he was going to take us through, making us reevaluate what we had always sort of, some things that were just a given because of who we were and stuff we wanted to do for him. So anyway, the testimony is now, like, he's seen these different therapists, and God has really made this better, you know. Of course, it's not out of the woods, but, I mean, he chats, he's not shy, and this Christmas he was wishing people Merry Christmas, like, at the store, and Happy New Year, and, you know, it's something like when you never thought that you'd hear your kid talk, to hear him say, I love you, Merry Christmas, Daddy. Like, it just, okay, God is faithful, and he's good, and he loves us.
Man, thanks, Devin. Yeah. Come on up, Megan. Yeah.
Hi, I'm Megan. I think my testimony today is something of hope. Yesterday I was doing a lot of traveling, and I had a two-hour layover at the airport. And living with, like, dwarfism, like, you know, you're used to a lot of things in your life that happens that's not really positive. And I remember yesterday I had three different people take pictures of me, and two different people call me, like, you know, negative terms. And so, but sadly, I'm used to that. And then I was like, oh. So I was on a late flight, and I was tired. And then I get on the plane, and I have my baggage, and I get back in the plane, and the flight attendant, I go, you know, can you help me, you know, lift this up? She goes, I'm sorry, I can't. I have a bad back. And I'm like, oh, okay. And so there's, like, all these servicemen. Sorry, I shake. I don't like public speaking. And so there was young servicemen in the back. There was, like, 15 of them. And here I am, like, the late female back there. I was like, okay. And all of a sudden, most of them starting to get up to help me. And then she told them, you guys aren't allowed to either. And I'm like, and she goes, you need to check your bag. And I was like, oh. But one of the servicemen goes, no, I'm already standing. I'm going to help you. And I'm like, and then I sat down in the plane. And my first thoughts that I had weren't anything positive. I won't say them. And so I was just so upset. And, like, I had a long flight. So I was like, no, Megan, you're going to calm down and relax. And I was just praying. And I was just thinking, like, that hope I had for these young men who are wanting to serve. Sometimes we think of, like, the next generation as, like, of themselves, but all these men stood up, and it gave me hope of saying, you know what, like, we can do something little, even myself and in anyone's lives, and it can play a major impact. And so as a testimony of encouragement, you know, anything little you can do, it really goes a long way in others' lives.
Amen. Megan joined our church this past year. And we're with you. Thank God for you. Huh? How many of y'all would have stood up with Megan, huh? Yes. All right. Thank you. All right. Maybe one or two more, but let me ask the musicians to come on up and get ready. We're going to keep these short. We do want to wrap up for the kids who are in nursery. and especially for those who are helping them. We're going to sing in just a moment, but yeah.
Okay. Hi, I'm Jade. Over these past few years, my grandpa died the day after my 10th birthday, and I got really depressed, and I went as far as cutting myself to try and end the pain. And I just thank God for Kevin and Stephanie and my grandma and all the Rices, because they made me feel like I have a home, even though we lost our home because the state foreclosed on our house. So I felt alone, and then I felt like nobody was here for me, like God didn't care, and that he wasn't here for me, that I didn't matter. So I've grown a lot in my Christianity over the years and know that he's here for me now.
All right. Come on up. What's your name?
I'm Mayumi.
Mayumi?
Yes. Hi, I'm Mayumi. I'm sick, so I thought it'd be smart to fit this. I am from California, along with my friends from UC Merced. Yes, we went to Urbana, and we had the privilege and the honor to be hosted by all of you St. Louis and people of St., people who love Jesus. And we were really encouraged that all lives matter, that that we are not alone in this family of Christ. That whether we're black, we're white, we're Filipino, we're Hmong, we're Burmese, we're Tongolese, like, all lives matter. We have the opportunity to share these stories. And if we don't engage in those stories, if we don't share those stories, then we're just passive in our faith. And if we don't do what God has called in the Great Commission to go and make disciples of all nations, like, who are we? And as this being Testimony Sunday, we have the opportunity to share our stories. We get to be a witness. There are so many people, our brothers and sisters who are black, who get witnessed and falsely accused. But we in our privilege, we with education, we who know the Lord Jesus Christ and the power living inside of us, we get to share. Don't let testimony stop here. Testimony Sunday ought to be every day, every conversation. To that man on the street, we don't know, as one of my friends said, who that angel is. I was coming in. And as one of my other friends reminded me, small actions lead, small steps in love lead to strong actions in faith. If we are to change this community, if we're to go against the powers and principalities of this nation, we ought to step out in that faith, that courage. And I know my brothers and sisters, though you don't know me, though I don't know you, one day we will. And in eternity and the plight of heaven, we will get the chance to hear each other's stories. Man. But if we don't do that now, like, who are we excommunicating in the church? And I'm so encouraged by you as a fellowship and just how you guys welcomed us in as people from California. And we'd love to take some of your water. All right, God bless you guys. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you, Mayumi. Wow. Thank you all to you who shared. Thank you for helping all of us to see God more clearly. He is always at work, as Brandon said, and he who began a good work in you, he's going to carry it on to completion. You have hope for 2016 because the God who has created the world, has been with us, is with us, will be with us. Let's stand, let's sing, and then we're going to close at the Lord's table together.
Because
invite you to make a circle around the outside of the sanctuary. One of the things you do around the table, I hope, is you eat together and you share stories. We've been sharing stories of the goodness of God. And now we have this fellowship meal together. The amazing thing is that the work of Jesus Christ reconciles us to God. We were, it says in Scripture, by nature objects of His wrath. But God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive. For it is by grace you are saved through faith, not by works, so that no one can boast. We are His workmanship, created to do good works. And so we have access this morning to God, and we have fellowship with one another. If you look around a minute, your love, your encouragement with one another, your witness to one another, it's all by grace. Jesus at the center. And Jesus made all of this possible when He went to the cross. It was the night that He was betrayed. He was with His disciples in the upper room. They were celebrating that Passover meal, and He took the bread and He broke it. He said, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." He also took the cup and He said, "This is the cup of the new covenant. My blood shed for the forgiveness of your sins. Drink from it. All of you." If you're visiting with us this morning and you belong to God because of the grace of Jesus Christ, if you're looking to Christ for your salvation, we're so glad you're here. Taste and see with us the goodness of the Lord. If you're part of this gathering this morning and you don't yet have your faith in Christ, we're very glad you're here. If you're not walking with Him, if you're not seeking to find your life in Him, then we'd ask you just to let this pass you by. To take this is to testify that Jesus Christ is my Savior. And it's to also say, He is your Lord. If that's your confession, feed your faith this morning at this table. You are very welcome. Lord, we thank You. Thank You that You give us community, that You give us fellowship, that You give us testimonies. Thank You that You give us Your word, and thank You that You give us this sacrament, this sign, this seal, this symbol of Your love, of Your commitment, of Your death, of Your resurrection. Lord, minister to us as we partake in Jesus' name.